Podcast.
The Savior.
The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.
Three things you probably did not know about the Prophet Muhammad and his progeny. Number one, the belief in supremacy of God. Supremacy of God is simply the recognition of and submission to whatever God has ordained. The belief is that God is owner of sovereignty over whatever exists in the creation. In order for his sovereignty to be transferred to someone else, the appointment has to come from him alone. The appointed representatives of God are also known as the successors or the Khalifa Allah. It is by the representative of God that a human comes to know the purpose of existence and the right path that leads to spiritual perfection. Also, the Almighty perfects his religion in every era through them, whether on the ideological level or the jurisprudence. The matter of sovereignty of God is also mentioned in the Quran, when God says, "Say, O God, owner of the sovereignty, you grant sovereignty to whom you will, you take sovereignty from whom you will." The appointment of the Khalifa or the successor is also noted in the Quran, when God appointed Adam as the first Khalifa. It is mentioned that God said to the angels, "Indeed, I am going to place a Khalifa on the earth." This belief is also mentioned in the Bible and the Torah. Rather, this is also noted in the most historic sources of divine religion that can be found in the ancient Sumerian tablets. For more details about this matter, you may check out our video through the link on the top right corner. Despite all that, unfortunately after the death of Prophet Muhammad, a group of companions hastily decided to choose Abu Bakr as the successor to the Prophet. Consequently, not only we find division among the Muslims, but also the presence of shortcoming in the religion that most practice. This becomes quite apparent when we come across the matters that have evolved with time and require jurisprudence ruling. For example, genetic cloning, or the timing of prayers near North Poles or South Poles where the day is 24 hours or the nights are 24 hours or the fasting therein, and many other matters that have evolved with time and require jurisprudence ruling ordained by God. In the time of the Prophet, the laws came to be known through him, while after that, most have no way of knowing the laws from God. Instead of admitting this shortcoming, they resort to pass the fatwas merely based on conjectures, contradicting the very religion they follow. As for the progeny of Prophet Muhammad and their followers, the religion was perfected with the appointment of the Khalifa after Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, there is no shortcoming or contradiction in this ideology that proves that the Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of the Prophet, are truly the inheritors of the religion of God. Number 2. The will of Prophet Muhammad. One of the most intriguing and lesser known facts among the Muslims is the will of the Prophet Muhammad. Even though the Quran and the traditions clearly document that leaving a will is an obligation upon every Muslim, yet we find most Muslims are unaware of the will of the Prophet Muhammad. Many often argue that he did not leave a will because prophets do not leave an inheritance, but this is refuted in the Quran. For example, in the Quran, Prophet Zechariah asked God for an inheritor. Also, God said that Solomon was David's heir. This is despite the fact that saying the Prophet did not leave a will amounts to accusing him of disobeying God, as it is an obligation upon every Muslim. Also, it accuses God of sending a Prophet who does not obey him. On the contrary, even though the Shia believe in appointment of God's successors from the progeny of Prophet, the truth is that reality of Prophet's will has largely remained unknown. Consequently, we often find misconceptions that if really there are 12 Imams from Prophet's progeny, then why didn't the Prophet tell the others about a matter of such great importance well ahead of the time of his death? The answers to all these questions become very clear when one reads the traditions from both Shia and Sunni sources. Both sides verify that the Prophet conveyed the command of God to the Muslims when he gathered them all on the last Thursday before his death. Historically, this event is known as the Calamity of Thursday. It is reported that despite the pains of the illness in the last days, Prophet Muhammad called the people together and asked for a pen and paper. He emphasized the importance of what he was going to dictate by saying that whoever holds on to it will never be misguided, and no two people will ever disagree. Yet at the same time, one of the Prophet's companion, Umar ibn Khattab, disrupted the whole situation by accusing the Prophet of being delirious and rejected his command, saying that the Quran was enough for the people. This interruption caused confusion and division among those who were present. Witnessing such unfortunate disobedience, the Prophet sent them all away. But he did leave his will in compliance with the command of God for those who accepted it. He dictated it to his cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib, the husband of his daughter Fatima, while companions like Abu Dhar, Salman, Farsi, Miqdad were witness to this event. The following is the copy of the will of the Prophet Muhammad written during the night of his death.
The will of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, on the night of his death. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, said to Ali ibn Abi Talib on the night of his death, O father of Al-Hasan, bring me a pen and a paper. And he dictated his will until he came to a position where he said, O Ali, there will be 12 Imams after me, and after them there will be 12 Mahdis. You, O Ali, are the first of the 12 Imams. Allah has named you in his heavens Ali al-Murtada, the Prince of the Believers, the Grand Truthful, the Bright Differentiator between Truth and Falsehood, the Trusted, and the Mahdi. These names may not be truly attributed to other than you. O Ali, you are my successor over my family, their living and their deceased, and over my woman. Whomever you affirm shall find me tomorrow, and whomever you reject, I am innocent of her. I will not see her, and she will not see me on the day of resurrection. And you are the successor, Khalifa, upon my nation after me. If death approaches you, hand it over to my son, Al-Hasan, the very beneficial. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to my son, Al-Husayn, the martyr, the pure, the assassinated. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, the master of the worshippers, Ali. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Muhammad al-Baqir. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Ja'far al-Sadiq. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Musa al-Kadhim. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Ali al-Ridha. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Muhammad the Trustworthy, the Pious. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Ali the Advisor. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Al-Hasan the Virtuous. Then if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, Muhammad the Entrusted of the Holy Family of Muhammad, peace be upon them. So these are the 12 Imams. Then after him there will be 12 Mahdis. So if death approaches him, let him hand it over to his son, the first of the close ones. He has three names, one like mine and my father's, Abdullah, servant of Allah, Ahmad. And the third name is the Mahdi. He is the first of the believers.
Number 3. Martyrdom. The family of the Prophet Muhammad were already well known among the people because of the traditions of the Prophet and the verses of the Quran that exemplified their status and rights. For example, all of the previous messengers except Prophet Muhammad were ordered not to ask for any recompense from their nations. The Prophet was ordered to ask people to love his family as his recompense, and God showed their status to people in this way. Prophet Nuh said to his nation, O my people, I do not ask you for any wealth in return, my reward is with God alone. Prophet Hud said, O my people, I do not ask you any recompense for it, my recompense is only with He who created me. While God ordered the Prophet to say, I do not ask of you any recompense for the message except love for my relatives. The family of Prophet were also quite popular among the people because of their knowledge, morals, and the way they lived their lives. The leadership and authority given to them by God certainly clashed with the ambitions of those who had usurped their rights and took over the Islamic Empire after the death of Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, upholding the banner of true religion of God had serious implications that affected the progeny of Muhammad and their followers. After Prophet Muhammad died, the next successor of God from Prophet's family, Imam Ali, found that he had no choice but to demand a divine right that the people had gathered to usurp. His demand led to the people swarming around him, gathering their army and gangs to attack his home, oppressing him, offending him, causing harm to his wife, Fatima, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Although it was authentically narrated that whoever harms her father, the Prophet Muhammad, and angers God Almighty. Imam Ali remained oppressed, sitting in his home for more than 20 years. The cries of the oppressed ones became louder, and the majority of the people did not find any solution for what they wanted except with Imam Ali. So finally, in desperation, they turned to Imam Ali and asked for his leadership. His leadership lasted for 4 years and 9 months, but during all those years, he faced three wars, all from internal oppositions. These battles did not end except with Imam Ali covered in his own blood, when he was stabbed by a Khwarji while praying in the mosque of Kufa. The leaders appointed by God from his progeny faced similar hostile and oppressive conditions after him. This hostility, envy, and hatred against Prophet's family manifested into the ugliest image when the third successor of God from Prophet's family, Imam Hussein, was brutally murdered along with 18 other members from Prophet's household in Karbala, Iraq, by the forces loyal to the oppressive tyrant Yazid. Their bodies were mutilated, and they raised the head of Imam Hussein on the spears to pay tribute to the tyrant. This catastrophic event shook the Muslims and led to massive increase in the number of followers returning to uphold the supremacy of God and loyalty to the Prophet's household. It is also worthwhile to note that the Umayyad ruler Yazid waged war against Imam Hussein, the third Khalifa Allah from Prophet's family. Yazid's father Muawiyah waged war against Imam Hassan and Imam Ali, the second and the first Khalifa Allah from Prophet's family. Muawiyah's father, Abu Sufyan, fought the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. Abu Sufyan's father, Harb, fought Prophet Muhammad's grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And Harb's father, Umayyah, fought Prophet Muhammad's great-grandfather, Hashim. So in this way, the tribe of Umayyad continued their fight against the divinely appointed leader from progeny of Muhammad. Each one of the 11 Imams from Prophet's family died unnatural deaths, plotted by those who had usurped their rights, until the birth of the 12th Khalifa Allah from Prophet's family, Imam Muhammad al-Mahdi, peace be upon him. He was born in 255 after Hijri. He did not die in his time, as he was raised by God, just like some of the vicegerents of God in the past. Prophet Elijah was raised by God in ancient times, and traditions tell us that he will return to earth in the end times. The Jews are still awaiting his return. Prophet Jesus was also raised by God, and Muslims and Christians believe that he will also return in the end times. So all of them, by the power and command of God, are still alive, performing works entrusted to them. It is also reported in the traditions that the 12th Imam will send a special representative from him before his return. This representative is an infallible from his household, also known in the traditions as Al-Yamani, the forerunner of the divine revolutions in the end of times. He is from the lineage of the 12th Imam, Muhammad ibn Hassan, peace be upon him, and mentioned in the will of the Prophet Muhammad by the name Ahmad. For more information, check out our video, Who is Ahmad al-Hassan?
Podcast. The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.